Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
.1067 The Fan's continuing coverage of the Nationals World Series Championship is presented by Dick's Sporting Goods. Every championship season starts at Dick's. Right now, Barry Svrluga of the Washington Post joins us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Barry, it's been fun reading all your work and seeing you out and about in all these different cities the Nats were playing in over the last few weeks. They are world champions, just like we all predicted in late May.
Yeah, I had that one. it was obvious. The signs were obvious when you're, starting Jake Knoll at first and batting Kurt Suzuki cleanup. It was just a destiny that was destined to be fulfilled, I think.
Any team that can lose four late-inning leads to the Mets on four straight days in May looks like a world championship team.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Barry, the craziest thing about this run to you, most remarkable thing, take it wherever you want, but maybe the least likely thing in your mind that actually ended up happening.
Oh, man, there's so many to choose from. I mean, I think on July 31st, the idea that Daniel Hudson would strike out Jose Altuve and Michael Brantley to end the World Series in Game 7 would have seemed absurd. I mean, if you remember, this was a historically bad bullpen, one of the worst bullpen ERAs in the last 50 years. That's not an exaggeration. That's what it was. And then Mike Rizzo, when he made three trades that day for Elias Hudson and Hunter Strickland, admitted, these aren't sexy moves. It's not going out and getting Aroldis Chapman like the Cubs did in 2016 or Andrew Miller or anybody like that. But he thought they got better. It felt like kind of a collective, okay, the pieces aren't as bad as they used to be. And Strickland was useless in the postseason for sure. That strikes me as highly unlikely. I also go to, somebody asked me, what if you had to pick a moment when this postseason turned. To me, it's the Soto single off Josh Hader in the wild card game, because it made everything else possible, and it really was, it overtook immediately Jason Worth's homer in Game 4 of the 2012 NLDS as the best Nats postseason moment, because they won something that night. All of a sudden, where there had been only, horrific memories, there was something positive that had happened in October, and it just kind of built from there.
Barry Svrluga on Grant and Danny. Your name will be framed and hanging in my basement. Got a couple of those papers I'm getting worked on to be putting up, so it's cool, and all those keepsakes that you guys provided at the Post are going to be neat. All right, let's start, though, looking ahead, if you don't mind. I'd love to keep talking about 2019, but it is a hot-button thing, and as you know, everyone will go their separate ways here soon and start doing their own thing. Anthony Rendon's future, how much of a chance do you give him, and do you expect him to be a National next year?
I don't. It's kind of a sad thing to say, and you're right on what we should be talking about. It's too bad that it's only been a week since they won this thing, and we're already trying to figure out who's going to stay and who's going to go. That's just the reality of the way it works. It's my feeling that the Nationals had chances to sign Anthony Rendon, before midseason this year, going back to the spring, going back to 2 years ago, when the deals that they might have gotten a long-term bargain out of it. The last offer was made in early September, 7 years, between $210 and $215 million, depending on how you calculate some interest. It seems like a reasonable offer. It is now, the price has gone up. because he is a free agent, because 30 teams can bid on him because of what he did in October, which was play just ridiculous baseball on both sides of the ball and expose anyone who hadn't seen what a star he is to his talent level. In assembling this, the 2020 roster, Mike Rizzo is going to have a bunch of money coming off the books, but adding, you know, I guess we'll get to Strasburg, but adding Rendon back in at a Nolan Arenado type number, I'm not sure that Anthony has the kind of romantic attachment to Washington that we all would like him to have based on what they just got accomplished here. And Scott Boras is his agent. And we know if Scott Boras clients get to free agency quite frequently, you know, the biggest number is where they end up. So it's a guess. It's an educated guess, but it's nothing more than a guess. If I had to put money somewhere, I'd say that Anthony Rendon plays for one of the other 29 teams and not the Nats next year.
Barry Svrluga with us here. Washington Post did a great job throughout the season, but really this postseason, I thought really shined, just chronicling everything that was going on. Steven Strasburg is interesting. I feel pretty confident that he comes back to Washington, Barry, having moved his family here. He stayed here this offseason, much ballyhooed about how he trained and best shape of his life and all that. But there is a door opening now with his opt-out. Just, I can imagine, the star of the postseason, really, was how great he was. 5-0, nobody's ever done that before. What are the chances you would say that he's not in Washington next year?
Well, I mean, there's a chance, right? It's a non-zero chance, right. And maybe I think it's, you know, 80% Washington, 20%. I'm just thinking off the top of my head. Like, I feel like there's a lot of incentive on both sides to get this done. This is, you know, so we're talking about a guy with the same agent as Rendon, and I'm about to tell you something different about what I think the outcome can be. Steven Strasburg, like you said, I think it's important to note that he did move his family here. That is not typical for ball players. They must like something about the area and their comfort level here. He already re-signed with the team once, and the opt-out, wherever he ends up, the opt-out should not be taken as some sort of slap against the Nationals or some sort of disagreement that Strasburg has with the club. It's a financial decision. The Boras Strasburg camp believes that the 7-year, $175 million deal extension that he signed with the team a few years ago essentially was a bargain contract. When you sign these extensions before free agency, both sides have to give something up. The club usually gives, you know, years in security to a player, and the player gives up a little bit in salary from what they would make on the open market. By becoming a free agent, he is open to the market in a different way. I would think something along the lines of Scherzer's deal, in which you add on more years and more money per year. So something in the 7-year, $210 million range is probably what Strasburg ends up with. He's of a similar age as Scherzer was when he signed his contract. And now he's a World Series MVP. He led the National League in innings pitched. My guess is that he comes to that agreement with the Nationals, but it's definitely going to cost them more in years and in dollars than the 4 years and $100 million he had left remaining on the old deal.
Those are the headliners. There are obviously several other guys we could be discussing as well, and I'm sure Barry will be chronicling all this in the coming days in the Post. It was great seeing you at the parade. Enjoy a little bit of downtime, hopefully, in the coming few days, though.
Hope so, guys. Good to see you.
Absolutely.
You too, buddy.
Thank you as well. There's Barry Svrluga on Grant and Danny. The Nats just getting started this offseason. Speaking of the Nationals, by the way, we got a really cool Nats prize to give away today at 1:30. We'll give you the details in a few, and make sure you're listening at 1:30 to find out how you can win that prize. You are locked in to the Fan.
Grant Danny, for our pals at Window Nation. Many moons ago, I got tired of paying those really high utility bills every month. It was exhausting for my little tiny condo. Like, why am I paying so much every month just to heat and cool less than 1,000 square feet? Well, it was because my windows were terrible. They were drafty. They were old. They were leaky. Enter Window Nation to fix it. And they upgraded me. I got a tax credit. I pay less every month, and I increase the value of the home. I love Window Nation. The experience start to finish, GP, top notch.
What I liked most about my experience was they gave me an exact time they were going to be at my house. They showed up exactly at that time. They didn't leave a screw on the floor. They worked room to room. Everything was very quick. Very succinct, very efficient, didn't really ruin any part of my day. Just going about my afternoon as they were making my house better. 150,000 windows have been installed in the last year. 99.5% of the time requiring no follow-up service. Now's the time.
Buy two, you get two free. You get 0% financing for 60 months when you call Window Nation. What's the number? Good question. 866-90-NATION. 866-90-NATION or windownation.com for the buy two, get two free sale plus 0% financing for 60 months.
Out of the national sports scene today that I'll just never be able to get behind and never feel good about. The Chargers are apparently willing to listen to the NFL if the league wants to talk about sending them to London full time. So there's two reasons why this story irks me a little bit. Number one, I am adamantly against and think it's a terrible idea to have a team in London all the time.
We agree there.
From a logistics standpoint, just the machinations of making it happen, I don't understand why or how it could, how you would get players to sign there, why anyone would want to deal with that travel. Nothing about that makes sense to me. This is not a team in Canada in Major League Baseball in Toronto. This is not the Raptors, you know, where you're a little bit above Detroit, basically. This is not that.
Mm-mm.
This is six-hour flights, you know, going all the way across the ocean, games being at different times. It makes no sense, but we could get to that in a second as well. But I also don't like this story because I can't stand when people just say, would listen. Like, what does that ever mean? The Chargers would listen to the NFL.
Opposed
to what? The NFL calls the Chargers and they would hang up and scream and laugh at the league. That doesn't happen. Everyone would listen to everything when their boss essentially calls them. It's like the Redskins would listen if somebody called on a trade for Trent Williams. We heard that toward the end. Cool. Do they want to trade him or don't they? Because it doesn't seem like they wanted to. The would listen thing just always irks me.
Yeah, there's a lot of that language that always floats around. It's the non-report report, right?
Correct.
Where you go,
are you telling me the Chargers want to be in London? Please tell me that.
The Browns have reached out about a trade. They offered a seventh rounder and some SpaghettiOs. They reached out. Technically true.
Right.
But did they make something serious
but
or not?
You get what I mean with the Chargers.
Oh, I get exactly what you mean.
This idea that they would listen if the league wanted to talk. Well, number one, we don't know if the league wants to talk to them about this. Is the league interested at all in going to London? Full time? We don't know.
Yeah, there's a lot that irks me about it too. By the way, that I could add on to that. I'll compound it. They should never have gone to LA in the first place. By the way, that greedy SOB owner ripped the team away from San Diego because they wouldn't publicly finance a stadium. Went to play in a soccer stadium in LA, and nobody cares about them. They shouldn't be there in the first place. So now they're desperate for somebody to want them. Now they had a place that wanted them, and it was San Diego, but not enough, right? For the owner. So now he's trying to drum up something. Well, I would listen if Kansas City calls. I'd listen if Topeka calls. Keep listening, bro. Keep listening and making bad decisions, you selfish, greedy, you know what. So I want them to have to sit there and suffer and stew in their own juices as the second fiddle to the LA Rams, who, by the way, can't really draw themselves. They're getting a lot of visiting fans there. It's a Lakers town. It's a Dodgers town. It is not a pro football town. But they're desperate for that LA market. So I suppose congratulations are in order.
Let's get to the actual idea of a team in London for a full-time scheduled season.
Oh, I hate it.
Before we even get to hating it, how would it even work? How would that logistically be possible? Would the team live in London year-round? Not year-round, but full season? Would the guys train in London at Wembley Stadium and they'd live over in England? The team would operate its business on those hours or... You know, do they somehow operate on hours here while in London?
It's 5 hours ahead. You can say a lot of different things. It's a five-hour time difference with the East Coast. It's an eight-hour time difference with the West Coast. There are Western Division teams. There are many teams that play on the Western part of the United States.
That's the other part of it. So it's the Chargers doing it. Are they still in the AFC West? Are we restructuring now all of the divisions at that point? To try to figure out what team slides where so that they can be an Eastern Conference, Eastern Division team in the American Conference. Because you can't have a team in a Western Division play in London full-time for obvious reasons. That means your road games all require you. How long is that flight?
I mean, you can do it direct.
I know it takes 6 hours from D.C.
Yeah, you can do the direct from New York, D.C., et cetera, in about 6 hours. So add in five to that from the West, from parts
so
of the West
it's
Coast.
11 hours. So then
Seattle, London, this weekend.
Those weeks, you are just staying in Seattle all week, I guess. But then the next week, maybe you play the 49ers or something. So you're there for 2 weeks. Or when do you go back to London? The disadvantage this team is at is astronomical.
And then the disadvantage.
How are they supposed to win? And then you're supposed to go recruit players?
Well, then the disadvantage that teams that have to play you are at that week and otherwise, right? I mean, it's already a pain in the you-know-what to go to London as it is. And it's a cool experience, and everyone's got to do it,
when
you
get
wear
to
it.
Do it maybe one time in your career. There's a couple guys who bounce around a few years, and they're there two or three straight years. It becomes a funny story where they're the London guy. But by and large, you talk to most of the Redskins, they've been to London once when they played the Bengals.
Yeah, and it was cool. So Seattle's got to go play London. Arizona's got to go play London. San Francisco's got to go play the London whatevers, the Chargers. The London Chargers, actually. So it's quite fun. So they got to go play that game. They're screwed. When do you leave? How do you adjust to going back? You're basically going back 24 hours. You're losing a day. The sleep chronicle. I know people scoff at that like it's a small thing. It's not how highly conditioned these guys are. I understand the desire to make this thing global because where else can you grow, right? You got your $9 billion. You're looking at how do I get to $20 billion? What am I going to get? They want a bigger piece of the pie, and the only way to do that is to have a global sport the way they're jealous of how the NBA has made itself worldwide. I'm sorry, it just ain't the same. It's not. And it.
If you wanted to do a team in Canada, which even then I would say, please stop doing this.
Like the Bills with that, with flirt with
right.
Canada all the time?
Where teams have had games, and the Bills used to host games in Canada. I covered a 2011 Redskins-Bills game in Toronto.
In Toronto, right, yeah.
You guys will remember the game because John Beck got sacked 11 times. The Redskins got shut out. Ryan Fitzpatrick played okay, and the Bills won, I believe it was 23-0 off the top of my head.
How many catches did Roy Helu have in that game? Was that that game?
That was not that game.
Oh, it was a different game.
That was a, I believe, now this is, you. No one should owe me anything, but I want you to give me $5 if I'm right about this.
All right, let's see.
I think Roy Helu caught 14 passes against the San Francisco 49ers at home.
Oh, did I conflate those games? I thought it was that game.
I believe it was the next week.
I'm going to have to apologize.
Or the week before.
Let's go. Hold on. Here we go.
But I think the Roy Helu 14-catch game was a FedEx Field game against San Francisco.
Let's look that bad, Jackson.
That would be my guess.
Yep, it was. Okay, I'm looking at the next week they played San Francisco.
Okay. I like my chances.
Let's look here. Let's look here. Roy Helu had 10 rushing attempts. And 14 catches against the San Francisco 49ers.
Attaboy.
You grows up and you grows up. I thought they were the same game. I merged them in my mind.
It's fine.
I was wrong. Mark at zero.
It was all the John Beck experience. It all gets lumped together. But if you wanted to have a team play in Canada, it would be a bad idea, but it would be logistically feasible. You could figure it out. You could do it.
Let's do Mexico.
Toronto Blue Jays, Toronto Raptors. If you want to do Mexico, even though you can't seem to get anything right with the fields there, and every time you have a game there, there's some snafu or people have a paint in the end zone that needs to be dried before the kickoff. And the last time they tried to do that, I believe that game had to come back to California. Remember that?
Yeah, it was a kerfuffle.
Last year, so they had to redo it this year or something weird. Even that is a better idea than London. I can't stand that we have this many games there now. I like the breakfast and football thing this weekend with Gardner Minshew at 9 a.m. But it feels like every week from like week 6 to week 12, basically, we have a London game now. That's what it feels like.
It's already too much.
I think it might be. Is it only 4 games in London now?
You're asking a great question. I feel like it's either 4 or 6. Is it 4, Darski? 4.
It's too many.
Yeah. I've always said that.
But this thing's taken on major wind in its sails. The Chargers are willing to talk to the NFL.
I'm willing to talk.
Good for the Chargers. Everyone stop doing this. That would be my that is my retort to that story. 800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny. If you want to hop in, you absolutely can. You got a thought on that. 800-636-1067. Plus, the Cleveland Browns cut a player for being a bad boy on social media.
Yeah, it got awkward.
Everyone, take a deep breath after games and sign off Twitter if we got a bad performance and a bad loss. You're listening to The Fan. The latest example of life coming at you fast. Browns defensive back Jermaine Whitehead, who had started all 8 of their games this season. I can't speak to how well he'd played. I'm going to assume not that well. But I can't speak to how helpful he is or how much a part of their future he was. But they cut him immediately after he took to social media to go on a tirade after a bad loss to the Denver Broncos. He directed most of his anger at Dustin Fox, who's on the Afternoon Drive show on our sister station, 92.3 in Cleveland. I listen to it a lot.
A guy we've had on, I think, right?
We've never had Dustin
on. We never had Dustin on? No, when we did. Never mind.
You may have withheld it, honestly.
Oh, okay.
It's been around in that area for a while. Bull and Fox is the show.
Right.
He played at Ohio State, played in the NFL for a short time, is a Big Ten analyst, and now is all over their radio network. Well, anyways, he does their postgame show.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm guessing he took Whitehead to task, basically said he didn't play well.
He said Whitehead's tackling is a joke, is the thing he said on Twitter.
I didn't even know what he said.
Uh-huh.
So he saw that, Whitehead did, and he was very upset. He said, "Come get in blood, B. You made-ass little boy. I'm out there with a broke hand. Don't get smoked." He told another Twitter follower of his who he's arguing with, "I'm going to kill you, B. That's on blood." I don't know. What does on blood mean? Does that mean like it's written in blood?
Meaning like it's very serious. This seriously.
It doesn't sound good.
No.
Because I'm a big...
It doesn't sound friendly.
Yeah, yep. If someone sent that to me, I would be a little intimidated.
I go, I use a pen. Like, what are you doing?
I'd be like, oh my God, this
written
is
written in Sharpie.
I'm going to kill you, B.
I underlined it.
And it wasn't, you know? B like boy. It was like the word that I can't say.
Rhymes with Lilo and Stitch.
Right.
Yeah.
That's on blood to another Twitter user.
It's on blood.
You saying that.
It's on blood.
I'm on the same way. Well, my new favorite thing, too, I'll get back to this in a second, is like these things that are said on Twitter or just in life that we're all supposed to know. Like, I'm supposed to know what on blood means. Why would I know that? My best example is someone got super mad at me because someone tweeted at me or did they say this? I don't remember how it happened, but someone said, "Let's keep it a buck, Grant." And it was all like one word. It was like,
keep it a buck is
right,
one word?
Like a word, like keep it a buck.
And not a hashtag. It was an actual.
No. It was like a word.
What is that?
And I'm like, well, it means keep it 100. So this is now. First of all, you have to explain to me that keep it 100 keep it real.
Come on.
Now we're doing keep it a buck because 100 is a dollar, 100 pennies, I guess, is a buck. The whole point is the fact that I didn't know that made me an idiot. Like, I was the guy that was dumb because I didn't know keep
can't
it a buck.
Keep up.
But anyway, that was on blood, he said. So his Twitter account was suspended before he left the locker room.
Sure.
He didn't even get out of the visitor's locker room.
Are you on the team bus yet? No.
The 26-year-old NFL defender from Auburn in his fourth year refused to talk to the media. He was released yesterday after his diatribe. Now, I will say that he went to Instagram today. I don't know if he has a Twitter account back. I don't think he does.
He may have to use a different platform.
He was working on the other social media.
I'm gonna post a follow-up on Facebook.
"I would like to take this opportunity to apologize for my actions following our game with Denver. That was totally out of character for me. I do not justify my actions, but was extremely frustrated with the way I had played and our team losing because of it. I was playing with a broken hand, but that is no excuse for my actions, and I am deeply regretful." He did not say that's on blood. It would have been funnier if he did, but he probably wasn't in the business of cracking jokes.
Because it may have been a public relations professional may have assisted in crafting a message, and they said, you know, you want to omit on blood on this one.
But he wanted to personally apologize to anyone he offended. I feel bad for the guy, honestly. You know me, I'm kind of I'm weak or soft or whatever you want to say.
Mm-hmm.
I think everyone deserves like 3 or 4 or 7 or 8 chances. I don't want the guy getting cut for one bad night on Twitter. So I do. I feel bad for this dude because he's put in a lot of work, I'm sure, to play in the NFL. And now he got cut because he was angry because someone had made fun of him.
I actually do too, believe it or not. To me, there's a large difference between, I know people want to make speech the same as action. There's a large difference between, you know, keyboard toughness and actual action. If you go out and do something, like if you get in a fight or you do something stupid, this is locker room frustration. You know, and again, I think it's unfortunate. I'm not condoning it. Obviously, it was dumb. Please don't do that. There's a lot of people not doing that on a daily basis, and they're easily able to somehow refrain from doing what you did. But I don't have near as much of a problem with it as I do, you know, going out and committing a crime. You know, and to treat it the same is unfortunate to me. I do feel bad for the guy. I actually do.
I hope he gets signed quickly, legitimately, and I hope he plays this weekend or next weekend. Because you're in a position where people get to say what they want about you.
Absolutely.
And you don't really get to respond without looking bad. I think that's tough. But them's the breaks. I mean, if you and I
don't play in the NFL.
Went and searched everything that was said about us and responded, we'd look pretty foolish.
Like, we unmuted all the mutes and unblocked all the blocks, what they're saying now this minute.
But not only that, you know, then you don't threaten to kill people would be my first thought.
Right, I'm good at that.
You've somehow navigated that so far.
40 years plus, just not threatening to murder people.
That's
on blood.
That is right on blood. Adam in Silver Spring, you're on G&D. What's up?
What's up, Adam?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, it was cool to see y'all up there in the parade on Saturday.
Yes, it was.
Well deserved.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I hate to bring this back to the Skins, but you guys have a better perspective on this than me, so I'm going to throw this out there and see what you guys think of it. But, man, everything about that Callahan presser, from, like, his tone of voice to this weird posturing about, oh, there's a lot of things we've got to look at. We're going to look at all the material and all the info. It just seemed like such open hostility to the media and the people who dare to question the Washington Redskins. It just felt like him going out there and giving everybody assembled a big middle finger and saying, you guys just wait and see.
So appreciate the call. I get what you're saying. I think when you're 1-8, nothing you do is okay, for lack of a better phrase. So they're losing every single week, and everything they're doing now is going to be dissected. I don't know that he could have a press conference that I'd like or that you'd like. Now, here's what I care about. Since he took over and he's tried to run the ball as often as possible, they've gone from not being a good offense and averaging about 15 points to being a much worse offense and averaging 8 points, about half of what they were. They've gone from running the ball 17 times a game to 25 times a game. And that was supposed to fix all their problems, but they're scoring less, they're moving the ball less, they're a worse team. So when I see him, I'm generally already annoyed because of his philosophy being antiquated and that of a dinosaur. But do I think he did anything wrong with the press conference? No, I think he's a professional coach. He ran Nebraska. He was the head coach of the Raiders in a Super Bowl that I attended at a young age as a media member. Like, to me, he knows what he's doing at the podium. I like that you got a pro up there that's going to say what he's needs to say and not say anything that he doesn't have to. I got no problem with that. My issues, I'll pick different nits.
Yeah, my annoyance is twofold. It's one, I double down on the philosophy, on the we're going to do a non-productive thing on offense to try to make sure the score of the game is low so we don't get blown out.
Yeah, but at least the games will go faster and the other team might score less also.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
Good luck enjoying watching.
The second part that bothers me is not what he's doing at the press conference, because let's say this was a different organization that was in disaster mode and he's just sort of up there talking out of both sides of his mouth saying nothing. I don't necessarily care about that. The part that irks me is he's Bruce's boy. And it feels like Bruce is back there going, yeah, yeah, that's right, Bill. Go not tell him, buddy. Like, that's the part that I can't help escape. And that's my own issue.
Let's go to JB in Haymarket on G&D. What's up, JB?
Grant and Danny, how you guys doing?
Good, buddy.
Great.
Hey, I was super excited to see you guys at the parade, man. You're probably the most hyped to see you guys at everybody. So that was awesome.
That is crazy talk, but we love it. Appreciate you.
So I was getting back to the London talk. I was actually at the game when the Skins went to London, had a great time, met a few people down there. And a couple of the guys I met down there were talking about getting a team there, and they were super excited about it because there's a lot of football fans there. So they really want to get that going. And the same with the schedule. I just had an idea. I don't know if this would work or not. But maybe split the season in half with away games and home games, so you really only have to take, you know, one or two flights from London to the States.
Say that one more time. Say that last thing
He's
one more time.
He's saying they could schedule the games essentially so that they come here, knock out a couple here, and then go back. So that the flights, the travel wouldn't be as bad as we're making.
That's the way you'd have to do it, I'd assume. Right?
Yeah, but then you have a team that is uprooted from its training facility
right.
for multiple weeks. I mean, when teams like McVay's Rams or Shanahan's 49ers.
It's like big news
this,
when they don't go back to the West Coast.
Like, we're going
to
stay out here and train at a high school for a week, and we're going to deal with this adversity and be stronger for it. Like, what if that's just what you do all year? Just
Tuesday
that's
a girl all the time thing.
Which place are we training in next week? Again, you have to be able to sign free agents that want to be there. You have to be able to court players that are going to choose your team over other teams. I feel like it's just really, really hard to do that. Jim Trotter, who has written forever at Sports Illustrated and ESPN, said the Chargers are expected to address the London story within the next hour. Everything I'm hearing is that they will come out strongly denying an interest in relocating to London. We shall see.
Yeah, they're going to deny it. You know where you could put a team is in the United States, in one of a lot of huge cities that don't have football teams.
Where they
I know it's
football.
Weird. Yeah. I know that's a weird suggestion. Like a team that, I don't know, like San Diego is a great city for a team.
That would be
St.
a good
Louis
one.
Is a place you could have a team. I mean, come on, dude. Enough of this. Enough of it.
There's probably a few cities.
There are a couple spots.
Might work for you. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Let's go around the NFL before we get out of here. A couple of Nats notes for you next. Plus, We will be giving away a Nationals prize. We're going to tell you how you can win it and start a next segment as soon as we come back. The Gardner Minshew show has ended. Not quite canceled after one season. It was a good season, by the way.
Nice run. Short episodes.
A lot of highlights.
Yeah.
I'll Netflix binge it. 8-episode season. 13 touchdowns, 4 picks, 2,200 yards, and a 92 rating for a guy drafted in the 6th round.
He's a real-life Uncle Rico, man.
By the way, we're just trying to get our number 15 pick to throw a touchdown. Gardner Minshew has a 6th-round pick, and I know that the comparison may not be fair because Haskins had, you know, a couple snaps after Bullis High School, and Gardner Minshew was around for 13 years in college football or whatever it was. He's 23 years old. But one of those guys went in the 6th round and was ready to get on the field right away. And he played really well. The quote I saw from Doug Marrone, his head coach, was, "I feel a lot different about him than I did before he became our starter in a good way." How could you not?
Yeah, and rightfully so. I mean, he's got a lot of Ryan Fitzpatrick to him, right? There are going to be bust games that make you want to pull your hair out. There are also going to be games where he's like, "I probably shouldn't be here. I got a mustache. I'm going to run around and make some plays," right? And he did that. There are a few games where he had some Houdini acts making escapes and making plays from in the pocket, out of the pocket, et cetera. Game where he bounced around like a pinball through a touchdown pass, DJ Chark. He for a 6th-round pick, that dude can play.
So what I loved about him was when they played bad teams, he played really well and they won convincingly. Those are the types of things quarterbacks who are solid but not great do. You know what I mean? Like when Kirk Cousins was here or other guys that have come through Washington, when you at least felt like, we're going to win today because this is a bad team and my team's average.
Yeah, they're playing some crummy group and you get fat, which
like
is what happened.
Last week, Gardner Minshew against the Jets.
Torched them.
280-3. They won basically 30-15 in that game. For a rookie quarterback to just competently go out there against bad teams, same thing against the Bengals. Went for 255, didn't throw any picks, didn't turn the ball over. They won by 10 points. He's got a chance. He's going to have a long career. He's certainly, at worst, going to be a backup for a long time in the league, but I could absolutely see him starting, but he will not this weekend or for the foreseeable future for the Jags. They spent a lot of money on Nick Foles. He is healthy after breaking his collarbone in week one, and he returns for them this week. That news just broke. Also on the quarterbacking front, Cam Newton is out for the remainder of the season.
Yeah.
He has been placed on injured reserve, and it has been announced that he will not return with that foot injury. I thought when I heard first that he was on IR, it could be like designated for return in a few weeks, and they're trying to get a roster spot.
But it sounds like that's it, huh?
This is the end of his season, according to reports coming out of Charlotte.
And quite frankly, they've been better with Kyle Allen. Now, I'm not saying Kyle Allen is better than Cam Newton. He's better than the Cam Newton that we saw that was clearly not right and was trying to gut through a bunch of different things. You could tell everything you needed to know watching Newton just not have the explosiveness. They didn't want to do any of the goal line stuff or short yardage where he is such a weapon because he's so big and strong and explosive. Couldn't throw it accurately. He's not right. They're better with Kyle Allen. They're 5-1 with Kyle Allen at the helm, just kind of making sure that Christian McCaffrey gets fed, right? You could do a lot of different things. The occasional pass to Moore, to Samuel, but mostly it's Christian McCaffrey. You do that, their defense is punching above its weight class.
Kyle Allen from?
Don't do it to me. Wyoming.
That's a good guess. Kyle Allen from?
I should know it. Okay.
Kyle Allen from?
Texas Tech.
You're so close.
Texas.
No, but not geographically. Just in the way of what I think of when I think of this school. That's going to throw
Oklahoma
you off
State.
A lot. All right, let me do another one. Think about guys throwing for like 800 times for 9,000 yards. Kyle Allen from?
I said Texas Tech. Let's go Texas A&M.
Okay, let's think about Tom Herman. Kyle Allen from?
Houston.
Houston is
Tom
right.
Tom Herman, Houston.
Attaboy.
For the record, you were also technically correct with A&M.
We would have accepted both. He played for two schools.
He started at A&M.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay. We did this one before, and I forgot. You remember that we did this before?
I don't remember.
And I was like, oh, I should know it. This is not quite my
miso.
This is your
miso.
This is your kimchi is a cheese.
Kimchi is a cheese. Kimchi
Danny,
is
a Gardner cheese. Minshew from?
Ooh, that's a good one. You know that one. That's easy.
Two correct answers.
Wow,
Washington
I'll
State?
Be shocked. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. I got it.
Do you know the other one?
No, what's the other one? Oh, wait, he transferred.
Grad transfer.
I can't remember.
Before Washington State, he was at?
He probably enjoyed Sup Dogs.
He went to ECU?
ECU.
How about it?
Okay, fine.
How about it?
Very nice. That's how we play. Where did Gardner Minshew transfer
from? I thought that game was just called From.
Yeah, that is. That's From. But no, I like where did Gardner Minshew transfer from. That's a good one as well. Cam Newton, by the way, has probably played his last down in Carolina. There's a really good chance of that. First overall pick in 2011, has been there ever since. So you're talking about 9 seasons with the Panthers. I don't know that Kyle Allen's the guy. He has a chance to maybe make that happen. Maybe they're in the market for a quarterback. Perhaps you trade up and go get somebody. But there's a really good chance Cam Newton, now in his 30s, has played his final down for the Panthers. And that'll be intriguing to see what teams think of him. He's had one exceptional season, a lot of mediocre seasons, and a few good seasons. So we'll be curious to see now, coming off of a big injury, where he's at. And by the way, again, I just want to reiterate, we talked about this earlier, but you just mentioned him.
Uh-huh.
If you don't think Christian McCaffrey is capable of being an MVP because you're a running back, you decided that before the season started, please watch the Panthers more. That'll be the end of my sermon.
Yeah, he's so fantastic. And I still don't believe you should draft the running back high. But here's the thing. That guy's amazing.
Yeah, have your rules. That's great. And be the smartest guy in the room and write your books. Just when someone does something, please acknowledge
it. Yeah, that guy is fantastic.
Caller number 10 right now at 800-636-1067. You have won a copy of The Fight Finished, the official World Series Championship commemorative book. The hardcover, full color book covers the entire season and victory parade for a limited 106.7 The Fan listeners opportunity. You can save 25% when you order your copy this week at worldseriesbooks.com. Use the code THEFAN. That's worldseriesbooks.com. Use the code THEFAN, courtesy of Skybox Press. Details at thefandc.com/contest.
We are Grant and Danny, and our watch is in.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.